Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Electric Leftovers. My name is Jason. This is episode 336. And this is a very special episode. They're all very special. This one's special because I'm on vacation. Ladies and gentlemen, a thing that rarely happens. Your old pal Jason says, I'm not coming to work for a couple days. Y'all can deal with it, suckers. Threw up the deuces and walked out the door. And then came back and said, not forever, just, you know, for like a couple days, because we get a long weekend, because Juneteenth is a thing. And I said, I'm just taking a couple days off. And I said, okay, get out of here. We never liked you anyway. So yeah, vacation time. Welcome to the show. I do appreciate you listening. And I appreciate that given all the other options for podcasts, you have decided this one is your favorite. You don't have to say anything. It would just embarrass us both. Good. Now that that's out of the way, hope you're having a grand old time. We've got all, of course, the usual departments today. We're going to be looking at some reviews of Asteanax, some weird news, and because we are reviewing Asteanax, and because Asteanax is the last alphabetical game in the A section, we're going to be moving on to the Bs. It's a whole other world. Nothing like you've ever seen before. That's for sure. Unless you've listened to the show before, then you know it. In the land of Orlus, the Granbolos Empire, under the lead of Emperor Souser, is slowly taking over. The kingdom of Kana has long survived thanks to their guardian, the dragon Bahamut, with the royal family Kana can commune with. However, one day Bahamut fell into deep sleep and the Granbolos Empire attacked the kingdom of Kana. Some survivors of Kana, together with some mercenaries, create a resistance group. Flying the skies of Orlus with their airship, the Fahrenheit, they try to liberate the lands. However, they stumble onto an even larger plot that might prove to be the end of the world. This is Bahamut Lagoon, a tactical RPG for the SNES, developed and published by Squaresoft and released in 1996. And this was one of the last games, not the last, but one of the last games Squaresoft made for the Super Nintendo. And this one actually was supposed to be Final Fantasy Tactics, but that kind of got scrapped and became Bahamut Lagoon. Plays very similar to a tactical RPG, more like a, well, I was going to say Ogre Battle, but that's not even totally right. There's party battles. So you have parties. Each party gets a dragon. You send them out to do the things. You can either get into a traditional RPG Final Fantasy-esque style battle with these people, or you can do more like a, what's that game? Fire Emblem-esque kind of, not in a battle, but fight kind of thing. It's hard to describe. You just have to watch it. It's kind of long, 28 parts, and it's a fan translation since this was never released in America, and I don't think I really followed along with the plot very well sometimes. It got a little convoluted in a few different places, so do your best. So I said we were going to review Astia NX, and I gave a little brief review of it last week. Let's see what everybody else on the internet said. Also known as The Lord of King in Japan. Aggregate, 334 people thought this game was fair. They thought it was just the right toughness and 5 hours long. They also thought, let's just you and I together. We're just going to click. Oh, I can't click on that because that hard drive is not plugged in right now. That's all right. We can do this real time. Yeah, baby. Why edit? No one likes it when you edit. So we're just gonna... They said 5 hours. Oh, that's not going to be here because it's on the Low Bias Gaming channel. So that means we need to go to youtube.com/lowbiasgaming. Now we can go to videos, now we can search, now we can search for Astia NX. And the reason it's here is because this was a co-op with Scarlet. So everybody else said, the 118 people said it took them 5 hours to beat. It took me and Scarlet, me playing, 51 minutes. That's why I don't believe that is correct. We did do the arcade version, which Scarlet, really liked over the NES version. That one took 20 minutes. Something like that. Anyway, reviews. That's why we're here. Not to stroll down memory lane. Let's see. The most overrated game on the NES. Astyanax, wake up. You're going to be the main character in an uninteresting game. To start off a couple of reviews. What if Valis was starred by a teenage boy? Well, that would be very rude of that teenage boy to star Valis, wouldn't it? It's all Greek to me, says Casket Darkfire. It's a name we've seen before. And a real underrated NES gem, says What the Deuce 92. Do we have any regular contributors? Oh, we do. Oh, but he gave it so high. Oh, like, so, so high. We're going to do three. Oh, boy. Let's start with... Oh, yeah, I guess you're a regular. You're a semi-regular contributor. So we'll do this one first. Wannabe Punk Tony in 2006 says of Astyanax, official Nintendo seal of quite possibly horse crap in video game form. Tell us how you really feel, Tony. Astyanax is just like many NES games when looked at from present day, a pile of crap. There's really no other way to explain it. You can make excuses and allow leeway to developers at the time, but Jaleco, Jahito, Halesco, delivers none of this. They deliver no leeway? Hold on. This game is crap, and the localization department of Halesco USA only made it worse. I say it that way because it bothers Coolio. I enjoy pronouncing things wrong because it upsets him. Deal with it. This 2D side-scroller revolves around a high school freshman boy named, you guessed it, Astyanax. During one of the many riveting cutscenes, Astyanax tells us, my name is Greek, I think. Who wrote this script? Because they need some kind of award. Stat. He's being haunted during his beauty sleep by, quote, probably the most beautiful girl you have ever seen, Princess Rosebud. And no, she is not a sled. All of a sudden, on his walk home from school, bam! He is warped to the land of Remlia. I know, jaw-dropping stuff. A fairy named Cutie is waiting for him, telling him he has to rescue the princess from the evil wizard Blackhorn and his minions if he ever wants to go home. And so our adventure begins. With his huge thighs, purple suit of armor, and trusty axe, sword, spear, can opener, TV remote, cell phone, Astyanax is out to whoop 2D ass on all who stand in his path. Among those that stand in his path are flying grapes, Mexican jumping skeletons, Metroid wannabes, fishmen whose spear guns are randomly jammed, and my personal favorite, evil plants that spawn just as you are jumping onto a platform, sending you straight to your doom. But the biggest enemy preventing Astyanax from possibly getting laid before any of his inexperienced friends, and by a princess nonetheless, is his awful game. Lame ass story aside, the controls are exactly what you would expect. One button for attack, one for jump, hold up and hit a button, magic. The developers tried to spice them up three ways, all of which completely fail. First is a parry move that only randomly works, usually when you can be left open to be attacked. Second is a morphing weapon that, regardless of what the manual says, really seems to do nothing other than change the image of the weapon. Third is a power meter that rewards those who don't hack and slash constantly with stronger attacks. Unfortunately, with the screen constantly filled with one-hit kill flying fish and grapes, it's a bit hard to take advantage of it. Way to earn those checks, development team. I'm going to interject here. There are different weapons, and I do recall them doing different amounts of damage, though I can't. It's been a while. What this game essentially boils down to is a 2D action with a tried-but-true Japanese storyline that wasn't worth its weight in yen when it came out, let alone now. There was so little to work with before localization, but Halesco USA took that extra step to make the game a little extra crappy. A script written by the local middle schoolers, ridiculous cover art, my, what fat rolls you have, Mr. Dragon, a mirrored screenshot on the back of the box, and more hype surrounding absolute crap than a Limp Bizkit album. Yep, they still make them. keep in mind, 2006. Official Nintendo seal of quite possibly horse crap in video game form. Nice of him to put the title down here at the bottom. Final score, a D. Fun fact, according to Encyclopedia Mythica, the name of the main character, Astyanax, comes from a character in Greek mythology that was killed as a baby during the fall of Troy. Too bad this game couldn't have met the same fate. Rating 3. Wannabe Punk Tony. You know, tells it like it is. Next, Walker Bo Omsford. In 2002, updated in 2003, gives us this lovely little nugget. The fact that I know a little more about the game's hero background raises the score. Okay, so one small tidbit of information raises this game's score from a 9 to a 10? Well, yeah, that's just me though. Read on, and I'll clarify. I love it when people who have written something that we are intended to read invite us to read the thing they have written while we are reading the thing they have written. It's like, you're already in my house, and I say, come on in. Gameplay, 10 out of 10. It's your average action RPG where you fight, collect items, and avoid falling off cliffs and falling into traps. Excuse me. You face bosses and eventually find your last opponent. You thrash him and win the game. Nothing too complicated. In fact, it's nice and simple. Not like Hydlide, where you have to spend 20 years figuring out how to do the simplest thing, i.e. swing your damn sword, or rather, charge into your enemies holding said damn sword in front of you. Astyanax doesn't have that problem. But read more about that in the next section. Again, love it. We're reading the thing. Please read the thing. Control, 10 out of 10. Wow, Walker. We have disagreed in the past. We may never disagree more. 10 out of 10. Jump with A, swing your weapon with B, use magic with up and B, pause with start, move with the D-pad, all the same stuff. It's responsive and just requires timing when you're trying to make a jump across a chasm. Audio, 10 out of 10. I absolutely love the music in this game, though I will freely admit, yes, that there are a few songs that get used a bit too often, but hey, at least they're not 5-second Indiana Jones ripoffs like the dreadful cacophony found in Hydlide. Is this a Hydlide review or a Astyanax review, sir? The sound effects are just as far from Hydlids, you forgot a letter, as it's possible to get. Although, yes, they could have done a bit better, but we're talking about 1989 here, guys, so a bit of average sound can be overlooked. At least it's better than Hydlide or Fist of the North Star. Sorry, fans. It actually kind of makes me think of Battle of Olympus. Oh, just throw games at me. I think they were made around the same time, but by different companies, Astyanax being Jaleco's work and Battle of Olympus being the work of Broderbund. That should probably be a question. I love, this is something that happens in reviews a lot. Audio, 10 out of 10. 2 seconds later, well, it could have been a bit better. No, it's 10 out of 10. It's perfect. That's what that means. Come on, Fox. What are you doing? Story. And Broderbund, I don't think, made games. I think they published games. Pretty sure, because Broderbund did Legacy the Wizard, Captain Skyhawk, Lode Runner, I think was them, Deadly Towers, and one or two others. They didn't have a bunch, and one of my goals with my little NES cartridge collection, I want to get all the Black Box games, and I want to get all the Broderbund games, just because. Anyway, story, 9 out of 10. This is going to be a problem later. You will see why in a moment. The basic story hasn't changed since Zelda. Save the Maiden Fair from the Wizard Fowl. Couldn't it be reversed just for once? Hey, here's an interesting idea. Make a game where the princess has to save the prince for... let's think. Anyway, Astyanax is the story of a young man named, well, Astyanax. The name comes from Greek legend. In the legend, Astyanax was the son of Hector and Andromache? I don't know. The rulers of the city of Troy. Astyanax would have been king, but during the Greek invasion of Troy, the young boy was thrown to his death by one of the invaders who hurled him over the city wall. That's a terrible legend. He's more like a plot point, I guess. The Astyanax of the NES classic, however, was not thrown to his death from a high city wall. In fact, he was just your average teenager, until he began to have strange dreams in which girls seemed to be crying out to him for help. Astyanax was disturbed by these dreams, and they came to him each time he slept. One day, he fell asleep in class, and the girl appeared to him, offering him a magic axe. Astyanax learned that this was Princess Rosebud of the world of Remlea, spelled different this time, which was being threatened by an evil wizard, Blackhorn. If the hero's name is Greek, why couldn't they have given the wizard a better name? Or why couldn't they have given the hero a better name, for that matter? This, come to think of it, they could have done with giving a princess a better name. Rosebud sounds so commonplace. That's how I wrote it, that's how I read it. Astyanax took up the axe and ended up physically in Remlea. His one ally in this dangerous quest was a fairy named Cutie. Excuse me? Couldn't have been something more fairy-ish. Anyway, it's your job to guide Astyanax through the world to Blackhorn Stronghold at Fenelena, I think that's two words, castle, and to destroy the wizard once and for all. Not very original, but still fun. Overall, 10 out of 10. Definitely give this one a try. It's well worth it. The music's groovy and the story's good, if a bit overused. And overused or not, at least Princess Rosebud wasn't made to suffer the same fate as poor Princess Anne of Hydlide. What is a Hydlide, anyway? Who was split into three fairies by her antagonist. Spoiler alert, buddy. And at least Astyanax didn't have the dysfunctional sword born of Sir Jim of Hydlide when he went to save Princess Anne's arses. Walker's not from around here. He gave it a 10. He says it's perfect. There's nothing wrong with it at all. 10 out of 10. Everything's great except for story, which is 9 out of 10, but also perfect. Side note, over here in the trivia, title screen is the difference between the US and Japanese version. The game logo was redone to accommodate the new name, and the Jaleco logo was removed. And the Medusa boss had a bit of a breast reduction and features a scale chest in the final US and European version of the game instead. That tends to happen in games. Finally, our most recent review, and by a returning contributor, Horror Spooky, in 2014 says, "Judge this game by its cover. Astyanax is a fittingly bad name for a game that is just as bad. The premise is ridiculous and poorly explained in the game's cutscenes, which are comprised of painfully slow text and various errors. Basically, a high school student is transported to a different dimension where he must use various weapons and magic spells to fight enemies and bosses in order to save a captured princess." Snore. "The game is a side-scroller and focused on poor platforming and cheap deaths. There is a wide variety of familiar enemies, such as skeletons, and unintelligible ones, such as a green plant thing that shoots out blue bubbles that damage Astyanax. The combat challenges players to be strategic with their attacks, which is an admittedly interesting wrinkle, though the execution, is fairly terrible. The game has two things going for it. One is the interesting combat mechanic mentioned above, and the combat is fairly complex and deep, which is also a benefit. The second thing that makes Astyanax not a total, utter, complete waste of time is the graphics. Released late in the life of the NES, Astyanax is built well and has good visuals. Unfortunately, due to conventions that plague many games of the era, Astyanax is just really, really not fun to play. The game suffers from cheap deaths and poor level design. Trying to play this game legitimately is just a nightmare, and like a lot of NES games, it's not really due to player skill, but rather game design that is purposefully cheap and frustrating. The only saving grace to this game is that it allows for cheat codes to make it much more playable. So, if you do want to get to the end of the game, that is certainly possible without even needing a game gene or anything like that. You just need to input the game's invincibility code using your NES controller. However, this robs the game of its potentially interesting strategy element due to your power meter that you have fit to take into account during combat. Astyanax is a good example of frustrating NES game design. Most NES games are like this. Unfortunately, and because of these annoying design choices, the good ideas the game does have are completely wasted. The title is stupid and the marketing team wasn't very bright choosing a title like that, but this game has much worse problems going for it as well." Horror Spooky gave it a 3. And looking at the reviews in general, Cappy gave it an 8. Dark L Vloon gave it a 6. EB Wiz DX gave it a 7. Empty Eye gave it an 8. Mega Man 1981 gave it an 8 and says, "The best dollar I ever spent." RPG Freak says, "Simple but excellent." The Manx says, "Interesting story." Standard Gameplay gave it a 7. VDE Boule gave it a 4. VG Mrs. Epitome, there we go, gave it a 6. I'm probably going to come down on the low end of this, probably a 4 or 5. I don't think it's worth a 6. It's definitely not worth the 10 that Walker gave it. This game has got some big problems. It's not terrible? Question mark. But if you're looking for this kind of thing, there are other better games that you could play. I would put side-scrolling action platformer on the NES. If you don't want the traditional, like Mario, Mega Man, if you want this more fantasy-ish kind of realm, you could do Zelda 2. Zelda 2 is better than this. You could do Wizards and Warriors 1 and 2, both better than this. Legacy of the Wizard, better than this. There's a lot that I would pick up and play over this game. I did buy it, though. I think I spent probably $2 on it. I think I can see it on my shelf. Not the best $2 I ever spend, but maybe Mega Man 1981 doesn't spend that little money at all. Well, kids, let's read some news. Our lead story, inexplicable. Down at the Amarillo, Texas, zoo, not the one in, Iowa, it isn't the animal exhibits inside that are sparking the excitement among the city's residents. Quote, in the dark and early morning hours of May 21st, the city reported in a June 8th news release, security cameras captured a mysterious creature outside the fence. Part person with a strange hat, part large coyote on its hind legs, part chupacabra, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram reported. We just want to let the Amarillo community have some fun with this, Director of Parks and Recreation Michael Kashuba said, asking locals to weigh in with their ideas about what the unidentified Amarillo object, that's stupid, might be. It is important to note that this entity was outside the zoo, he added, and there were no signs of criminal activity or vandalism. You know what it is? It's just somebody in a thing walking around because they saw the camera. It's all it is. It's all it ever is. It's fine. Special delivery. When Fort Lauderdale Fire Rescue responded to a crash on June 2nd, they found an SUV that had slammed into a FedEx truck, and it was quickly apparent what had caused the collision, WPLG-TV reported. It's the W plug. Inside the SUV were a man and a woman, both naked at the time of the crash, and the woman was performing a sex act on the male driver, first responders reported. Two people in the FedEx truck sustained minor injuries, and the male SUV driver had injuries to his, quote, private area, unquote. Next, don't bug me. During court proceedings on June 7th at the Albany City Court in New Mexico, a defendant who started filming an arraignment was asked to stop, NBC New York reported. During the altercation that followed, a 34-year-old woman in the audience allegedly released hundreds of cockroaches in plastic containers into the courtroom, resulting in the courthouse being closed for the rest of the day for fumigation. Quote, "What transpired is not advocacy or activism. It is criminal behavior with the intent to disrupt the proceedings and cause damage," noted a statement from the Office of Court Administration. And following that up with stories of Ghast, Reynold Gladue took over his gas station in Amherst, Massachusetts in 1973. But at least for now, he no longer sells fuel, the Daily Hampshire Gazette reported on June 7th. When his pumps ran dry this month, he didn't refill them because he can't abide the prices. Excuse me. Quote, "I don't want to be a part of it anymore," he said. "This is the biggest ripoff that has ever happened to people in my lifetime." His station will continue to do oil changes and other service, but he said, "Enough is enough." A spokesperson for ExxonMobil said prices are out of the company's control, being influenced by the price of crude and wholesale prices of products, which fluctuate according to the demand and supply factors. But Gladue isn't buying it. Quote, "It seems like the oil industry is in this together." Or selling it. See, buying it or selling it, but they put the quote in the middle, so it really screwed up their little thing there. And, trust me, when the guy with the dollar bills falling out of his pocket said there's nothing he can do, don't trust that guy. They're making record profits right now. Record profits. Yeah, the price of the barrel of oil is up, but it's been up this much before, and the price per gallon has not been this high before. So somebody's making a killing, and it ain't us. The litigious society, GEICO General Insurance Company, is that what that stands for? Must pay a woman identified only as M.O. a $5.2 million settlement, the Missouri Court of Appeals ruled on June 7th after she contracted the sexually transmitted disease HPV from an insured member during intimate relations in his automobile. The Kansas City Star reported that the Jackson County woman contacted GEICO in February 2021, and the company sent the case to arbitration. 4 months later, the arbitrator found that the man was liable for not disclosing his infectious status, and M.O. was awarded the large sum to be paid by GEICO. The company appealed, but the three-judge panel upheld the decision. I heard about this, and I didn't, like, get into the legal mumbo-jumbo, the legality of the case, but From my very outside, very layman's, you know, I watched a lot of NYPD Blue and Law and Order and Dragnet, you know, medical, legal degree, legal schooling. The driver is insured to cover any damages dealt to the passengers of the vehicle, and he caused that damage. I think that's the argument they made. I think it's right. Anyway, adventures in real estate. Oh, this will be fun. Danielle Cruz and her husband, hopefully not Ted, purchased and renovated a home in Chicago. Probably not Ted. But after listing it for sale, they found out someone was already living there. That's embarrassing. ABC7 TV reported that a contractor showed up to make a repair to the presumably vacant house and reported to Cruz that someone was inside the home. He also told her that all the locks had been changed. "We honestly thought he was joking because we knew the house was vacant," Cruz said, "so we show up with the cops and there's a young woman in there with all of her belongings." The woman said she had signed a month-to-month lease with a landlord, and because she produced a lease, the police couldn't ask her to vacate. Real estate attorney Mo Dadka said the case would probably be referred to by the Cook County Eviction Courts, but they're very backed up and the process could take 6, 12, 18 months, he said. Cruz's other option is cash for key, offering the renter money to leave, but so far Cruz can't get her to respond. Landlord was in quotes in that story. She had a lease signed. She had a signed month-to-month lease with a landlord. Well, who's the landlord? Find this person. Maybe they don't exist. Maybe it's fraud. Ever think of that? No. out of commission, a taxi in Alkmaar, the Netherlands, is out of service for the time being, NL Times reported on June 8th, but not because of its need of repairs. In the Netherlands, seagulls are a protected species. Oh, that sounds terrible. Why would you do that? And a pair of gulls has built a nest and laid an egg on the windshield of a parked taxi, right between the wipers. Before the egg was laid, employees tried to move the nest multiple times, but the pair kept returning and rebuilding it. Now the taxi must stay put until the baby girl hatches and fledges. Hope that meter's not running. News that sounds like a joke. In what seems like an extraordinarily bad idea in the age of COVID-19, a restaurant in Scottsdale, Arizona, encourages patrons to enhance their food or drink by licking a dining room wall made of Himalayan rock salt. WLB-TV reported on June 3rd. The head chef at The Mission restaurant brought in the rocks to improve the overall ambiance and add a unique touch for customers enjoying tequila shots. For those who are squeamish about the germs, the rock salt reportedly has natural sanitary properties, but the restaurant staff also regularly wipe down the walls. I'll have a beer, thanks. God, I hate you so much sometimes. No, it doesn't. It doesn't have No. It doesn't improve your mood. It doesn't help your feng shui or your chi. You're dumb. You paid a lot of money for a rock. Because you want to look at the rock and go, ooh, look at the rock. I feel better. And then you think about, oh God, that was $700 for that rock half the size of a bowling ball that I shoved a light into. And then you feel worse. So then you go buy another one to make you feel better. That's how they get you. The Great Escape. Before Stephen Patterson of Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, boarded a flight from Arnold Palmer Regional Airport on June 3rd, we're naming airports after things, after people that have drinks named after them now. That's great. He stopped for a drink in the airport bar. I wonder if he got an Arnold Palmer. Those are, I like a good AP. And paid with a $100 bill, which was conveniently stamped with "for motion picture use only," WPXI-TV reported. The cashier at the bar notified police officers, and they were waiting for Patterson on June 5th when he flew back into the airport in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. He said that the pants he was wearing were not his. Oh, that's nice. And he found the $100 bill in the pocket, so he decided to just use it. Park Police Chief Henry Fontana said, the quote was from Park Chief. Yeah, okay. Patterson was arrested on felony charges. I've done a lot of things, ladies and gentlemen, and maybe you have too. But have you ever put on someone else's pants by mistake? If you have, leave a review and tell me. At me on Twitter. Hey Jason, one time, put on someone else's pants. You give me as much detail as you want. Our least competent musician / criminal. Seriously. Ladison Riley, 30, who raps under the name 213 Jug God, was one of four people arrested in Nashville on June 6 for robbing an ATM technician as he serviced a machine at a Bank of America location, WZTV reported. Riley's videos have appeared on YouTube, and his latest song is called Make It Home, and it referred to, you guessed it, robbing ATMs. Riley and his co-criminals are from Houston, so they're facing federal charges and FBI scrutiny. Oh no, not scrutiny. Meanwhile, the Houston Police Officers Union mocked Riley on his Facebook page. Quote, irony when you make a rap song called Make It Home about bank jugging and hitting ATMs out of state and then don't make it home to Houston. God. I was having such a good day, too, and I read the news. I read the news today. Oh, boy. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for this week's edition of Electric Leftovers. I should probably just pre-record that. I say it every time, don't I? Sure I do. Hope you had a nice time listening to the show. I did my best. That's a lie. That is absolutely a lie. I'm sitting here in someone else's pants, and I did not even put any effort into this. That's how this show goes. That's why you're here. You don't want that glitz and glam Hollywood. This is indie podcasting at its finest. And my production quality is better than Radiolab's. Gotta give me that. Anyway, hope you enjoyed. If you liked the show, please feel free to leave us a review or a rating or send me a thing over on the Twitters at JasonGRVAN telling me about the time you wore someone else's pants. Like, subscribe, all that stuff, wherever you get your pods casted. I'm going to recommend strongly Podcast Republic. Get the app, too, because if you're listening on your car and you've got one of them kind of smart stereo things where you can connect with Bluetooth or whatever, it actually notes the chapters and the timestamps in the thing, which is kind of nice. Podcast Republic does. So that's my vote for what you should be using. Anyway, Jason's Groove Machine at YouTube, at Twitch if you want to join us for a live thing. We're doing Spirit Fair, which has been very, very good. Twitter at JasonGRVN. If you want to support the show, you can buy me a coffee by going to buymeacoffee.com/electricleft. Y'all have a good one. Enjoy your Juneteenth. Happy Pride Month, too. I totally forgot it was Pride Month. So happy that for all of y'all that are that. You got a home here. You're all right. You guys are fine. Except those of you that are assholes. Get out of here. Thank you.